going to be seeing inside Torah Shebichtav from the from Aris HaKadosh, from Ta'alei Chaim, Mitzvah Hashem, from Tanya. But now I want to give more Torah Shebaal Peh. I don't know if I have more than a half hour, 40 minutes left of me at this point, but I'll see. I did a Shmuel Troy. We're going to talk about Emunah. The Rotzen of a Jew comes from that point that's called the Chitzonius HaKeser. The will of a Jew, the motivation of a Jew, comes from that koach in creation and within the self. That's called Chitzonius HaKeser. Lamala Miza, we spoke for a few weeks about Pnimius HaKeser, which is the koach HaTanug, the koach of Tanug. That which is higher and deeper than the Ratzon, that which drives the Ratzon, is the longing for Tanuk. We've been talking about this now for a while. And now the time has come to talk, if we talk about Emuna, we'll talk from now for the next 1,000 years. Just in the Ma'arocha of what we're learning in Kaychas and Nefesh, the highest level of the crown, of the three levels, Ratzon, and then higher is Oneg, and the highest is Emunah. We need to understand Emunah not as theology, you might have had some classes on that stuff, not Hashkofa, not ideas, not concepts, that's not what we're going to talk about. We're talking about the Koyach HaNefesh, that's called Emunah. It's a different conversation. There's not a Hashkafa class. It's not a philosophy class. It's not a Machshava. There's a Koyach HaNefesh. That's the highest Koyach of the soul of a Jew. It's the highest point of the crown. It's the Etzem HaEmunah of a Jew. The Nekuda, where the soul of a Jew is bound to the infinite. That nekuda of that connection is called koach ha'emunah. It's called raiva deraivan, ahava betanugim, the raiva, the rotzen of all ritzonus, the will of all will. Meaning, there's a part inside of us, inside of me and you, there's a part inside of us that it wants nothing else, only God. That nekuda that wants nothing but God, that nekuda inside of us, that's the highest koach within us. The nekuda of yechida liyachida, that wants nothing other than to be one with God. Besoid v'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem, Chaim Kulchem Hayim. Vatam Hadveikim Bashem Alokech. The Etzem Achias, Chaim Kulchem Hayim, the Etzem Achias of the Neshama of a Jew, comes from Emunah, the Koach of Emunah that we have. In the Zohar Kodesh, this koach is referred to in a number of places as Reisha d'lo yada v'lo isyada. Reisha d'lo yada v'lo isyada. Harosh shelo yodea v'lo noida mahu. It's the beginning. It's the Reish. It's the highest part of who we are. Shelo yodea. Its inyan is not knowing. Shelo yodea. It's not a matter of knowing. It's not a matter of knowledge. It's Adaloyada. It's not an inyan of knowing. Reisha de lo yoda. Velo is yoda, and it's not known. It doesn't know in the regular way of knowing that we call knowing. And it's impossible to know what it is. Velo is yoda. That means that the emunah pshuta, the simple faith of a Jew, is beyond any description. Words haven't been created. I'm talking about in Lashon HaKodesh, not talking about in English or French or Chinese. L'havdol. Words haven't been created to be magdir, to define that nekuda of amunah, the koch of amunah that's inside of a Jew. And therefore, the Sfarim are always afraid, because any effort that is made to try to be magdir, the koch of amunah of a Jew, must, on some level, be poigain. It blemishes, it diminishes the tahara, the pureness, and the exaltedness of what that means, that a Jew believes in God. A poor muscle of that, because we have to try a little bit, a muscle, just a simple muscle of that would be a person who has the deepest, deepest love for another person, a husband, a wife, the deepest love imaginable, and he's asked to be magdir that ahava, to explain what that is, to define what does that mean, what is that ahava. Every word that the person would speak would be diminishing, would be damaging the tmimus, the pashtus, of that ahava, of that love. Because the nekudas hakesher, that nekuda that binds together those two neshamas that are in love, be'emes. The sherish of that is the etzem hanefesh. It's the essence of the soul. It's the etzem hanefesh. The pasuk describes Avram, Hashem's book says about Avram Avinu, Avram oihavi. Avram oihavi. And of all of the midas of Avram Avinu, which of course, when you ask a child in Cheder, Avram Avinu, he says Chesed. Avram Avinu is Chesed. The Baruch Shalom says Avram Oyhavi. Hashem and Avram Avinu were in love with each other. Avram Oyhavi, and therefore of all of the midas, even though of course it says later on Chesed Avram Tita Emsteyak Chesed Avram, but in Chumash it says one thing Vehem in Basha. When the Chumash is telling us the midah of Avram Avinu, his inyan, when Chumash says, it tells us the story about Achnas Zorachim, everything is nice. But who was he? What's the inyan of Avram Avinu? It's Vehem and Basham. Emuna. And therefore, Avram Oyhavi, my beloved, the one who I love, the one who loves me. The first ma'amin can't be described other than with those words, Vehem and Vashem. He believed in Hashem. The ahava, the love, is coming from that nekudas hanefesh of emunah. Here we have one of the great giluyim of Chassidus and Kabbalah. One of the biggest and most important giluyim of Chassidus and Kabbalah is a benageh to this nekuda of emunah, koach emunah. That emunah is not an inyan of intellectual comprehension or any kind of proof. The very expectation to prove such a thing is a pagam. Is a pagam in the emuna, in the ahava. The need to prove such a thing, like two people who are in love with each other, it's itself a pagam. Uvachol zos, there's no question that everybody agrees. That it's a tremendous mitzvah, da es elokei avicha, that there's a tremendous mitzvah to work on the kelim hasichliim, to try to learn and learn and learn and understand more and more and more, whatever we're capable, each person. In order to be miskasha more and more and more, and a level of understanding, of comprehension to the nekudas ha'amuna, and therefore we use all kinds of explanations, and misholim, and stories, whatever is in the arsenal of the intellect, of the human mind, to try to bring the nefesh of Bahamas closer to the nefesh elokis, to explain in a language that the nefesh of Bahamas, that the animal soul will hear, will listen to. All we want to do with all of that learning, of our learning, is to try to be makara of the nefesh of Bahamas, the nefesh elokis, to bring the nefesh of Bahamas into that world of emunah. To bring the nefesh Bahamas to the nefesh Elokis, to bring them together. Therefore, any limud of Torah, and when we're mekayim mitzvahs, just by putting on tefillin, by benching lulav, and so on, helps to bring the nefesh Bahamas around, to come into contact with the nefesh Elokis, to bring that emunah to a place of consciousness, of awareness, where the person is able to feel it, where the person is able to envision it. The same way, al derech moshel, between these two who love each other, this husband and wife who love each other in the deepest way, the ahava is something which can't be defined or described, but certainly what they do for each other, each one does for the other, and when they think about the other and understand the other, it's ma'ira the ahava, it's ma'ira the amun, it brings it out, it brings it to a place of consciousness, of awareness. But even if they don't, even if they're not thinking about it at that moment, and even if one is on this side of the world and the other is on the other side of the world, the mitzias is achastiv loy arpanu, that the nekuda of emunah in a Jew doesn't let go of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Zohar Kodesh calls the 613 mitzvahs, I'm sure many of you know, Tayag Eaton, 613 pieces of advice, 613 eitzes. What does it mean, eitzes? Eitzes to internalize, eitzes to be able to come into contact with the nekuda se'emuna, with that simple emuna, with the emuna pshuta of a hemen b'Hashem inside of us. That emuna, which is not a matter of intellect, in itself, again, is beyond description. It has nothing to do with the intellect. But through learning, and through mitzvahs, and through misholim, and sipurim, and through nigunim, and all of our avodah, we're able to bring the reality of that koach of emunah inside of us into the world of the nefesh of Bahamas, where even the guf is able to taste the emunah, and we're able to think about it, to feel it, and to be inspired by it. But the shorish of emunah, this must be very clear, the root of emunah is the highest point of keser, which is lo isyada. It's unknown. It's not possible for the mind to comprehend. It cannot be defined, cannot be described in any way. It's a Yerusha that we received. It's a teva, which is tavua in a Jew. It's the teva of a Jew. It's that nakuda, which is kriya v'kaima, it's the Shabbos of a Jew. Is that the Kuda of Shabbos? Not Yontif. Yontif is an Indian of Bezdin. Yontif is an Indian of Bezdin, of making a choice, of figuring it out. Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh is Elohim. That's Yontif. Shabbos is. And the Kuda of Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima. It's Kavua. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Koveya. That Koach of Emunah in the Neshama of a Jew. Not in the soul of an Eino Yehudi. Only in the place of Ad Lo Yoda Lo Yisyoda. In the place of that crown. In the highest point of the crown. Our knowing that, meaning our belief in the truth of what we're just talking about, the belief that a Jew has in this truth that we're learning about, it itself can have a tremendous hashpah. And the Svarim, especially the Chabad Svarim, all the Svarim talk about this. Just knowing what we're talking about and thinking about it, meditating upon what we just spoke about these last 10-15 minutes, meditating upon that itself is mashpia on the whole binyan of emunah in a person, that it could become more and more and more a part of his life. That's what it means, his boninus. To contemplate, to meditate this reality. Therefore, another name for emunah in the Svarim is Oneg HaNe'elam. Oneg HaNe'elam. It's an amazing musag. Oneg Ne'elam. HaNe'elam or Oneg Ne'elam. Oneg, we were talking about it, means delight and pleasure. But Ne'elam means it's hidden. Oneg Ne'elam. It's Ne'elam because if you ask the person, why are you about to allow yourself to get killed for something that your entire life you claimed that you didn't care about? You said you didn't care about it. So why are you going to die for something that you don't care about and that you never even observed the laws of that which you're about to die for? And how do you explain that? And the answer is, I just believe that this is how it is. If you're asking me, do I feel a gilui, a revelation of ahava, of love? Did that change my life at any point when I was 20, 30, 40, whatever? Even this moment that I'm saying that I just believe that I cannot change who I am. I cannot convert. I can't change who I am. I can't even make believe that I'm bowing down to that avodah zara. I can't even make believe. I can't even explain my whole life why that had no impact upon me. I don't know why. It didn't get me to put on tefillin. It didn't get me to keep Shabbos. It didn't get me to eat kosher. So when he says those words, ani ma'amin, it means that behelim or behester, in a very remarkable, unknowable, deep and hidden way, this nakuda of emunah is mashpia. And not only that, in some way a Jew knows, again, he can't explain, but in some way he knows that somehow, at some point in the future, I'm going to experience infinite oinig. This oinig ne'elam, which is ne'elam right now in my physical life, that I don't get, I don't even feel, but that somehow in the future, in some way, in the future, somehow, in some world other than this world or this world, I don't know, but that in some way, that oinig, that infinite pleasure and delight, the oinig ne'elam, is going to be revealed to me. I'm going to feel it. And that oinig ne'elam is going to rush and pour into all the koiches hanefesh that are gluyim, all my known, and all my all the koiches hanefesh, and I'll be able to experience the oinig ne'elam that I didn't while I was alive. Or while I was caught up in the Yetzirah, with the Yetzirah and the Nefesh HaBahamas. That's Aleph. Beis. What influence does this hidden nekuda of Emunah, of the Oinig Ne'elam, of the highest point of Lo Isyada, the highest point of the crown? So what difference does it make in my life now? That a person is prepared to die, we'll talk about that in a second. But how is it mashpia in my life now? Usually when I don't know about something, like I don't know what happened today in the elections in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. I don't know if it's out yet. I don't know. And therefore, it could be that somewhere, someplace, it's known. But I certainly don't know. And therefore, because I don't know that, it's not mashpia on whether I'm happy or I'm sad. I don't know. If I don't know something, so what hashpa does it have? We learned a couple of chavim. We were learning today a Torah from the Eish Kodesh and Parshas Achodesh. So if you have a chance, it's good to look at that Torah. There are things that are going on right now inside me and you that we don't know, like the heart beating. We know it from books, but I don't know that myself right now. The lungs, air, heart, blood, and so on. It's lo isyada. It's not known to me. And yet, it's the chiyus of who I am. It's giving me life. I don't know it. I know because I heard about it, I read about it. But if you get somebody that never went to biology, never read anything, doesn't know, just tam a poyer, like a peasant, you talk to him, doesn't know. What does it mean? How's it going with your lungs or with your heart? And he doesn't know what you're talking about. So how are you alive? I had vegetables this morning. And the vegetable has little things in it that, I guess, makes me alive. He doesn't know. It's lo yada v'lo is yada. For kid, dafke the deepest and most unknowable parts of us would give us life. So how, that's what the Rebbe talks about, the Pisatzin over there in Shabbos HaChodesh. So there are three ways that even now, with all of the hesed upon him and all of our not knowing, there are three ways that this nekuda of emunah is mizgala in our lives. Three ways. Again, afterwards we're going to learn in the svar. There are three ways. Aleph. That's what I said before. And it's what the Tanya talks about in Perek Yud Ches and Yud Tes, Chav. The Amun HaGnuza, that hidden koch of Amun, is Mezgala, is revealed when it's being threatened. When there's an Iur, when there's a counterclaim against it. So the most obvious time that it happens is B'shas Mesius Nefesh, the time of Kiddush Hashem. So when a guy comes and he threatens this Jew and he demands to make a choice between his being alive, Chaye Nafshay, his being alive, on the one hand, and his allegiance to Hashem, his nemonis, his faithfulness to God, on the other hand, it's the normal, healthy teva of a Jew. There are exceptions, which we'll talk about, it's not for now, but it's the normal teva, healthy, normal, regular, standard teva of a Jew, to be mevater on his life. To let go of his life, to give up his life, and not to be koifer, not to even say, to satisfy the goy, to say the words that he's koifer b'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. That's what the Tanya is talking about. And there the Alter Rebbe explains how this nekuda we see is misoira, even by simple Jews, and by Jews who during their regular lives, as I said 5 minutes ago, are far away from God. They never felt any excitement or inspiration. They're not the singing and dancing type. They're not even the observant type. But when it comes down to it, this amazing thing happens. When it comes down to it, when there's a choice, when faced with the choice of preserving my existence, which is, you would say, that's all that the person knows, is that he's alive. When the choice comes down to preserving my existence, or preserving my connection to a God who I don't even understand, who I never met. The teva of a Jew is to let go of his existence in order to preserve the connection with God. Not to forfeit the connection with God. So that's Aleph. That's one way that the Nekoach of Amun is Mezgala. Shas Kiddush Hashem. Beis. Second way that's Mezgala brings us back to our first discussion about the Hungarian wine. Misha tam tam yain Hungari. That's the Moshe of Rabbi Nachman. The Chabad Sforim from Hillel Paritcha, the one who heard the niggin. So, in Breslov, the one who tasted the wine, the Hungarian wine, and the Chabad, the one who heard that amazing niggin. It's the same Nimshel. That person knows bivados with absolute certainty. That all of the nigunim that he's hearing since that nigun are cheap imitations. Are not it. And he knows with absolute certainty that all of the wines that he has had since then, Stam Yenam, Stam wine. And as Rabbi Nachum said, he can't be fooled. he knows that there's an oinig amiti. He knows that there was something that he once experienced, that he tasted, whether he can recall anything specifically or it's just there. Since then, he's looking for that taste, for that song. But any oinig that you bring him, he knows emes that that's not the oinig ha'amiti. That's not it. That's not the ultimate tanug. That's not the ultimate tanug. And that's the deeper meaning of the Gemara and Megillah Daf Yud Gimel, called a koifer b'avodah zarah nikra Yehudi. How does one qualify to be called a Jew? Besides, your mother's Jewish. What does it mean to be a Yid? I'm not talking about by birth. What's the avoida? What does it mean to be a Yid? So the Gemara says, kol koifer b'avodah zarah nikra Yehudi. That means a Jew is koifer all the imitation wines and all the other songs. He rejects all the other music and he rejects all the other wines. That's called kol koifer b'avodah zarah nikra Yehudi. In other words, the Yehudi, the Jew, is koifer any substitute for the kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't accept it. That doesn't mean he doesn't throw himself into all kinds of silly tanugim and nairishkeit and all kinds of fun and games. Of course he does. He's tempted by all of those, but at the end, he knows deep inside that that's not it. That's not the tanug ha'amiti. And therefore he rejects all of the nagunim and all of the wines of the world. And that's a Yid. He's koifer b'avodah zarah. Now just stop and think about this for a minute and how different this is from the whole goyish way of looking at life and looking at religion. In that way, one is told every religion has some tam, in other words, in the shallow emptiness of religious pluralism, everybody's the same, everybody's good, everything is great, all religions are true. In effect, the saying is, just enjoy every niggun. Just every niggun is authentic. Every drink of wine, it's authentic. It's real. Nothing means anything. That's the world of relativism, of emptiness, postmodernism. I've told you, I think, before, I just mentioned it to, I don't remember, it was to you or to a different chabur the other day. But I told you about what the Rav said, what Rabbi Yosher Beis said about Cardinal Cushing, you know that? You never heard that? In Boston, it was one of the biggest galachim in the world. This Cardinal Cushing, he was like online to be Pope. He was a big, big galach. He was a nice guy. And he didn't seem to be a Sony himself, a kid. He was always trying to help the Jews and things. He was a big galach. And because the Rav in Boston was the biggest Jew there in Boston, so Lahavdil, there were times that they would meet at different community things that they would meet. And they were friendly with each other, Lahavdil. And Cardinal Cushing was very sick. And he was, there was some public event, and him and the Rav were sitting together. And Cardinal Cushing turned to the Rav and he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, I believe that my days are numbered. And the Rav said something like, oh, you should feel well and have a long life. And then Cardinal Cushing said, there is, however, one thing that I'm curious to find out when I die. And the Rav asked him what? So he said, I'm curious to find out which one of us was right. That's what Cardinal Cushing said. Now, I heard this from the Rav myself, and the Rav started to scream, and he told this over, and he said, could you imagine? This is Rosh Kol HaGalochim. This is the Pope to be. If he wouldn't have died, he could have been Pope, this guy. And what he was saying is that when I die, it'll be interesting. I can't wait to see which one of us was right. And the Rav said, could you imagine? Open the window and call out on the street in the shtetl to Rebellia the shoemaker, the simplest, dumbest Jew in the whole shtetl. Rebellia! Yeah, Rabbi, what is it? You think maybe it's kedai to go to church? Maybe they're right? A curse, a pox on them. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's not a matter of theology. And here, the Rav said, I used to respect this Cardinal Cushing as a person of faith. He said, it was such an awakening to me. The Rav said this. This is the whole emunah of a goy. Rosh Kol HaGoyim, next to the Pope. He says, any Jewish tailor, any Jewish child, any little shoemaker, whatever, water carrier, if you like, Shlomo Kalibach, knows that emunas oim and emunas yisrael sava to be a Jew. And here the biggest galach and one of the biggest thinkers in the church was saying that his whole emunah was b'taras safik. Was b'taras safik. We once had in the shul, there's a fellow, his name is Wade, his last name, is the son-in-law of the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's a Ger Tzedek. He lives in Yerushalayim, I believe, with a nice beard and payas. The son-in-law of the Archbishop of Canterbury, which is the highest galach in the Anglican Church. So it's a whole ishtalshus hadvarim, how he was Megaya, him and his wife, they were Megaya, because he was looking, he's a very, very bright person, he had a lot of kashas, and he decided he would learn Hebrew, because he figured that he'd be able to understand the Bible in the original. And he took off a lot of time, and he was sitting, and he learned Hebrew, and he became a big bucky in Hebrew, and then he saw the whole thing is Shekhar v'chazav. You understand Lashon HaKodesh, the way that they say the psukim and everything. So he said, I heard this from his mouth. He said that he went to the Shver. He went to his father-in-law. He had a whole thing of kashas, one after the other, different psukim, different things, all different. And he sits there for like an hour reading all these kashas to the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's not alive anymore. His name was Runcie. To the Archbishop of Canterbury, he reads all the kashas. And he asked them, so can we get started? He said, I don't know this stuff. So this is what he said happened. He asked his father, so how do you manage all this stuff? He said, this is what he said. Now here's maybe we could see the shirts that maybe he was also a Jew. His answer was, look, that's how I make my living. That's what he answered. This is my parnasa. That's what the Archbishop, I heard this from, that's the Archbishop of Kip, that's what he said, this is my panos. I don't know this, yes, me kashas. But they usually say is that Satan is making you, that you can't understand that, right? It's usually, if you have ever had conversations with this chavre, it's really that the truth is there, it's just that Satan doesn't let you see the truth. So I don't know why you can't see the truth, just Satan, what do you have with the Satan? I understand, I'm a Jew, I have with the Satan. What do you have with the Satan, that he doesn't let you see the truth? So forget about me, you tell me what you think. The Satan wouldn't let you hear it either. So the Satan doesn't let anybody do anything. But the Rav said that the Biur of Ar Hamna Baruch Mordechai was so clear to him, Kol Koifer B'Avodah Zarah Nikra Yehudi. Because Rabbi Elia, the shoemaker, is a Koifer B'Avodah Zarah. He doesn't necessarily understand what it means to be a Yid, Elia the shoemaker. He doesn't know much about the Baruch Shalom, a little bit what he heard in Cheder, and he reads the Siddur and the Machzeh, and he tries to read a little bit in the Yiddish. He doesn't know, but he's a Koifer B'Avodah Zarah. because he tasted the Hungarian wine. Somehow, in some mysterious way, the lo yadav lo yisyada, he knows the niggun. And therefore, anything that's offered up to him by way of an imitation is to him, he spits. Like the guy that was given other wine, who tasted the Hungarian wine. This, by the way, this philosophy of the Western world is that everything is true. There's truth in everything. That's how it starts off. They usually... And enjoy every niggun. And take the best out of every wine. And the best out of every niggun. That's the sherish of Avodah Zarah. But because of the crown that a Jew wears, and because the highest point of the keser is the koach of Amunah, he's never satisfied with anything that's not real. He's not satisfied with anything. It doesn't give him the tanug that he once felt or that he imagines and he dreams that in the future he will feel. This is not it. That's the second way that it's mashpia even now. It's mashpia on a Jew to be koifer b'avodah zarah. To be koifer the phony niggun, the phony wine. To be koifer, to throw it away, to say that's not it. And the third, which is really the deepest of all, which really you have to learn Perek Yutes and Tanya. Ne'a Hashem Nishim Esadam Chachm Shebenefesh B'chinas Ar Ein Soif Baruch Hu. Mitzvah will see it. It's the deepest of all. The Tanya explains that a Jew wants to have Dvekis B'Hashem. Be'emes and Pnimius. He wants to be Dovek B'Hashem. He doesn't want to let go of Hashem. He wants to be Dovek B'Hashem. Even though he knows B'Seichel that there's a stira that cannot be explained, there's a paradox, that God is infinite and I'm finite. Now the question, this stira is a stira of Nesias Hafachim. In the terminology of Chabad, Nesias Hafachim means that because Hashem is infinite, included in that which is infinite is Bechinas Gvul Ubli Gvul. Gvul Ubli Gvul. Finite and infinite. In other words, to make it very simple, on the one hand, I believe that Hashem is infinite. Ein Sof. Hashem is Ein Sof. Now, if Hashem is Ein Sof, He's infinite, then it's impossible, al pi seichel, that at the same time that He's infinite, that He should have a finite experience. That a human being should be able to, a human being who is finite should be able to experience Elokus, should be able to connect to that which is infinite. The only way that that's possible is because the neshama of a Jew knows that Hashem is bilti gvul, bli gvul, and that Bleak vul means that there's no hagbolah at all. And if there's no hagbolah at all, it means that because there's no hagbolah, there's no limit He's infinite. He's bli gvul. Therefore, if he chooses, he can have a relationship with that which has a gvul, with physical reality, with a human being, and with finite reality. Even though you would say, even though seichel makes no sense at all. These are two opposites, bli gvul and bli gvul. Finite and infinite is not a shidduch. This world is a world that is mugbal, that is finite, that's physical, that's limited. So how is it possible for a Jew to believe that he could have a relationship with the infinite one? The answer is, it comes from the koyach of amunah. Because the same way that God includes opposites, he's noisa hafachim, gvul and bli gvul, a Jew is also gvul and bli gvul. On the one hand, he's mugbal. He eats, he drinks, he sleeps. He's a balchaimer, he's in this world. On the other hand, he's capable of something. He believes that he's capable of something, and he knows that he's capable of something. He doesn't know how. And that is to be attached to that which is bli gvul, which is infinite. And because of that, a Jew is able to live as an Eved Hashem. And the Rambam writes at the beginning of Mishnah Torah, very close to the beginning of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes the famous Stira, the biggest paradox of all. What am I referring to? Huh? Bechira, Yidia, Bechira and Yidia, Yidia and Bechira, right? How is it possible that I have free choice if God knows what I'm going to do? That's the biggest question of all. It comes from the Chalal HaPanui, Rabbi Nachman says. How is it possible? And it's an amazing thing when somebody thinks of that, he thinks nobody else ever thought of it. How is it possible that God knows what I'm going to do and yet I have complete Bechira Chavshus? That's the Velt Kash. That's the biggest Kash. The Tzaddikim say that the Rambam wrote that at the beginning of the Sefer. Because if he would have written it at the end, then people might have thought that he just came to that question at the end. And then he wouldn't have written the rest of his Sefer. So he writes it at the beginning, and then afterwards he continues with Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Pesach. Continues with all of Torah Shebaal Peh. How is it possible for a person to be an Eved Hashem with this stira? It's an unbelievable stira. God knows what we're going to do, and yet we have free choice. So the Rambam says, "Lo machshavei seichel, machshavei sai." It's just different. And every one of us says, including the Rambam says, "Okay, weiter." Then you get up and you put on tefillin. Weiter. No, it's a stira. How is it possible for somebody who went through the Holocaust to believe in God's love? To be noise is such hafach. Kitzer, a Jew has within him the koach of gvul and bli gvul. Or else we wouldn't be here. Because all the other nations and people who don't have such koaches, they were gone a long time ago. But a Jew has within him a koach of gvul and bli gvul. He's noise hafachim. Because within him there's an infinite God who's noise hafach. And a Jew is modeled after the one who is infinite, who is gvul and bli gvul. Therefore, a Jew knows that even though I'm gvul, I'm physical, gvul, I can be dovuk to that which is infinite. And therefore, a Jew can look at a kasha like that, where there's a stira mineyu bei that should completely throw off everything. And it's not bechlal to him, it's not anything that prevents him from going on with being an Eved Hashem. And with other kashas also that come from the Chalal upon, like with the Holocaust and so on. Because after all the terutzim that have been given for these kind of things, there's no terutz. And it's not just that he can go on believing in God, to go on loving Hashem and trusting Hashem. And normally you wouldn't trust somebody that you felt treated you poorly and has let you down time after time. It's a kasha. Because a Jew has within him the nakuda of Elokus, which is Gvul and Bli Gvul, which is Noisei Hafochim, which contains opposites, which only God could do. And a Jew has that within him. Where does that come from? Lo Yada V'lo Yisyada. We don't understand it. It's just there. It's there. It's the Metzius of what a Jew is. It's the crown of a Jew. It's the highest point of the crown of a Jew. So, this was B'Teres HaKdama. And Mitzvah Hashem, the next year, we'll begin to see a little bit inside this farm. A little bit, because again, we could do this for 100 years. I just tried to be Misakim a little bit, the main point. And then we'll look a little bit inside and we'll continue. We'll go right to Mitzvah Hashem. I really doubt that there's a minimum.